Of course, tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, one of the great feast days of the Catholic Church, of course, and wanted to just start with one of my favorite Irish stories, and had to do with a man named Flanagan who was waiting on a street corner for a bus on a very cold and windy day in Ireland. And he noticed next to him was a very frail nun, a very tiny, frail nun wearing full habit. And all of a sudden, the nun fainted right into Flanagan's arms. And so he looked around to find a place that he could take her, and he noticed that the only place that was open was Murphy's Pub, right there in the corner. So he took the little nun into Murphy's Pub, sat her down in the chair, and said, "Sister, can I get you anything to help you?" And sister said, "Get me a large glass of Irish whiskey, but put it in a paper cup, because I don't want to give bad example." And so Flanagan goes over to the bartender and says, "Excuse me, I'd like a large Irish whiskey, but can you put it in a paper cup?" And he says, "Is that little nun in here again?" Well, besides being the day before St. Patrick's Day, of course, it is the second Sunday of Lent, which means we hear about the Transfiguration. Every year on this second Sunday, we read about when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the high mountain and he was transfigured before them. And the church always gives us this reading to encourage us during our Lenten journey, because we began on Ash Wednesday doing extra prayer and penance, and the church wants us to gives us encouragement today as we read about the Transfiguration, which is a preview of the coming attraction of the resurrection. We see so many beautiful details in Matthew's account. Last year we read St. Luke's account. Today we have St. Matthew writes that Jesus took his three closest apostles, Peter, James, and John, up to the high mountain. Now, these were the three that the Lord would take in the Garden of Gethsemane, where they would see the Lord at his lowest point, sweating blood. So the Lord wanted to strengthen their faith before they underwent the seeing Jesus go through his agony in the garden and to see Jesus go through what he was going to endure on Good Friday. The Lord wanted to strengthen the faith of the apostles, and through them, the Lord strengthens our faith as well. So we took these three up the high mountain, and then he was transfigured. He revealed his divinity to the apostles. His face became as bright as the sun. His clothes became white as light. And so Jesus revealed his true nature, his true divinity that he had kept hidden under his human nature. And then we see two great figures of the Old Testament appeared next to him, Moses on one side, Elijah on the other. Why did these two great saints of the Old Testament appear? Moses, of course, represented the law. He was the great lawgiver. Elijah represented the prophets. So here we have Moses, who was from 1500 BC, the great lawgiver, appears with Jesus because Jesus would be the great lawgiver of the New Testament. Elijah, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. Jesus was now fulfilling all of the Old Testament prophecy. Elijah was from 800 BC. And these two great figures appear with the Lord and they talk to the Lord. They converse with the Lord about his upcoming passion, death, and resurrection. And this reminds us, it's a very good Catholic apologetic evidence in Scripture that the saints can intercede for us and the saints can pray for us and that they're concerned with us. Just as Moses and Elijah were concerned with Jesus's upcoming suffering and death, so that's why we ask the intercession of Saint Anthony or Saint Jude or any of the Catholic saints to intercede for us. Just as they were concerned about the Lord, these saints are concerned about each one of us as well. That's why we ask their intercession, So this is a very good Catholic apologetic on the intercession of the saints, that when a person dies, they're not dead, they're still living with Almighty God and do and can intercede for us. Well, of course, St. Peter sees this. He sees Jesus with Moses and Elijah, and he wants to keep them there. He doesn't want them to leave. And so he speaks up, and St. Peter is the patron saint of all those who say the wrong things at the wrong time. And that's St. Peter. He says, Lord, it is good that we're here. Let me build three tabernacles, three booths, three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, and make this a permanent shrine. And of course, the Lord knew that St. Peter was a pretty good fisherman, but was probably a lousy carpenter. And so what happens now is that God the Father speaks and says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The great cloud of glory overshadows them all, and the voice of God the Father acknowledges the presence of the Son. So here we have the manifestation of the Blessed Trinity. It's another good Catholic apologetic for where is the Trinity mentioned in the Bible. Here is good evidence. Jesus is the Son of God. You have the voice of the Heavenly Father speaking, and then you have the bright cloud of the Holy Spirit enveloping Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and the apostles. So we have the manifestation of the Blessed Trinity. And then those words spoken by God the Father himself, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So there's so many spiritual things that we can draw out from this passage for our journey during Lent and for our spiritual life. In fact, John Paul II, before he died, gave us five brand new mysteries of the Rosary called the Luminous Mysteries, and the fourth one is the Transfiguration. And ever we meditate upon this mystery, we should think about these things. We should think about the revealing of the divinity of Christ. We should think about the manifestation of the Blessed Trinity, the voice of the Father, the presence of the Son, enveloped by the bright cloud of the Holy Spirit. We should be encouraged by the intercession of the saints, that we have the saints, our friends in high places, to intercede for us, just as Jesus had Moses and Elijah come and converse with him about his upcoming passion. Our faith should be strengthened whenever we hear this, even though we weren't there to see the revelation of Jesus's glory, the apostles were, and they were their witnesses. Because their faith was strengthened, our faith is strengthened through them. This gospel gives us encouragement to continue our Lenten sacrifices, our Lenten prayer and penance, and to realize that suffering is only temporary. Suffering in life is temporary. Jesus today gives us a preview of the glory of the resurrection and the glory of heaven. As you know, when you go to the movies, movies never start at the same time that they tell you. If a movie's supposed to start at 7 o'clock, what time does it really start? 7:15. Why is that? Because they give you 15 minutes of previews of coming attractions. And that's what today's gospel is. The Transfiguration is a preview of the coming attraction of the resurrection. Jesus wanted to strengthen the faith of the apostles, to help them endure Holy Thursday night and Good Friday. He wants to give us encouragement, to give us a preview attraction of his resurrection, that we can persevere in our Lenten prayer, sacrifices, and penance. And he also wants us to be given encouragement to look forward to the glory of heaven. That is, the Bible says, the sufferings of this world are as nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. So if you go through sufferings and difficult times in this world, know that it's only temporary, and that the Lord has conquered the world, and Jesus Christ is now glorified in heaven, and the angels and the saints are experiencing the glory of God in heaven. So yes, even though we go through difficult times of suffering in this world, it's temporary compared to what lasts forever, which is the heaven and the glory of heaven and the resurrection. So this whole gospel is a gospel to strengthen our faith, to give us hope and encouragement, not only in our Lenten journey, but also in our journey through life on our way to the promised land of heaven. And the one last thought that I always think about when I read this gospel is the Holy Eucharist, because in the Eucharist we have the same Jesus hidden under the appearances of bread and wine. You know, when the Lord walked the earth 2,000 years ago, he kept his divinity hidden under his humanity. Jesus did not walk around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, radiant, filled with light and power and beauty. He kept that hidden under his human nature. But it was still there. Jesus was truly God, even though he hid his brightness of his glory and his divinity. Well, in the Holy Eucharist, which we're about to receive in a few moments, Jesus not only hides his divinity, he hides his humanity under the appearances of bread and wine. But it still is the same Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in his glorified, resurrected body, under the appearances of bread and wine. So the same Jesus we receive today in Holy Communion is the same one that was transformed and transfigured before Peter, James, and John today. But not only does he hide his divinity, he hides his humanity under the appearances of bread and wine.